The tri-state area, if not more. So we're really excited about that. That's a fun place to do a seminar. That's because they have a great parking spot for my RV. That's really, really
nice.
Yeah,
they do.
Last time we were there, my RV slide got stuck. Remember that? It got stuck open.
That wasn't there. That was in Washington, D.C.
You sure about that? 100% sure?
100%. Yeah, I had to call my brother and everything.
Oh, I had to have a tire changed in New Jersey.
That's probably what it was.
Yeah, I had to have a tire changed in New Jersey. Yeah, I had tire problems. Anyway, good evening, everybody. How are you? My name is Jeff Gelman of Solid Canine Training. This is a wonderful, beautiful, stunning, always intelligent, so humbled often, Joelle.
Interesting intro.
Well, you know, kind of gives you the accolades. I say it in private, but let me say it in public, please. Because she's the brainchild of this company. And we got a little Q&A show here. We answer questions. You guys type them in, whether you're on Rumble, on Facebook, on YouTube, listening to the podcast. You just type them in. And on the podcast, you listen to the replay. And
what the heck was that?
I don't know. We got everyone losing their voice.
Everyone was making weird noises.
Yeah. That was Guido. Guido's going home Sunday.
Dang.
Yeah. He's going home Sunday. Sunday morning. We do a little go home with Guido. And he's the Frenchie that we've got with us. He's got a lung over there. What, does he start smoking? And I hope everyone's doing fantastic this week. It's been a great week for all the people that have lost power. You probably can't hear me. But so sorry about that. We've got actually a colleague, our tech guy, actually, who's up in New Hampshire. He's out there splitting wood in the freezing cold. He's got to heat up his house. I think he's got 11 fireplaces in his house or something like that. Yeah, he's got a huge amount of fireplaces in his house. And he goes through a lot of wood, but he's still going through wood. It's 91 degrees down here in Florida, and he's still chopping wood. So I think we should probably start right now. I talk a lot about stopping unwanted behaviors if you're brand new to the show. You know what I'm sick and tired of, though? I'm so freaking sick and tired of this. I'm so sick and tired of this stuff. Joelle put out a video. There's people.
It's every video now.
Dogs that are leash reactive. So we had a colleague that has a leash dog that's being leash reactive. So many people are commenting. Like almost 90% of the people that are commenting saying you shouldn't correct that behavior. You shouldn't apply a punishment. You shouldn't correct the behavior. You shouldn't stop that behavior because you need to get to the root of the problem. I'm so sick and tired of this conversation that you need to get to the root of the problem. First of all, I would challenge any of these people. Fine. Tell me what the root of the problem is. Tell me what it is. Oh, well, the dog is fearful. Oh, is that the root? Is that the true root? Or are you describing something? Why is the dog fearful? Why is the dog like that's not the root.
I feel like just all of dog training though is just hypothesizing. You never truly know why.
So you shouldn't apply a punisher to this. I said, okay. Because you're not getting to the root of the problem. All you're doing is band-aiding it. I'm like, okay. I'm so tired of that. First of all, yes, you should apply a punisher. Yes, you should correct it. No more obedience doesn't stop it. That doesn't mean you don't obedience train your dog. What it means is In order to stop an unwanted behavior, you apply a punisher. It is plain and simple. You don't need to know the root of the problem. I'm so tired of people saying this because, number one, they're actually not fixing the problem. Number two, it's leaving owners lost because nobody's fixing it and nobody knows what the root is. They think they do. They think they do, but they don't. Here's another, like, okay, so my dog is leash reactive. You need to know what the root of the problem is in order to fix it. Okay, great. My dog's in a downstay, and I open up the cabinet where the dog food is in. And my dog charges over from a breaks command and charges over to me and jumps around. Okay, well, you apply a punisher for breaking command. No. You need to find the root of that problem too. So I need to find the roots of every problem in order to stop it. Is that what you're saying? It's like, it's the most ridiculous conversation in the world. No, just teach the dog by correcting the unwanted behavior what you don't want, and then teach the dog with a reward-based system what you do want. That's it. That's all you have to do is you stop the unwanted behavior, teach the wanted behavior, and even if you teach the wanted behavior, you still have got to stop the unwanted behavior, and that's all you have to do. Mm. You have to teach your dog, this is acceptable, this is not acceptable. That's all you have to do. It's not that fucking complicated. Now, teaching the dog what to do, that can be complicated. Teaching the dog what not to do, that can be more complicated. Mm-hmm. But as far as how you stop it and figure it out, that's all you have to do. You don't need to find the root of the problem.
Right.
And all these people that say that, I'm like, okay, how do you find out what the root of the problem is? Explain it to me. How do you find out? What's this formula? What's this? Is there like some sort of test that you give?
You shrink the dog.
Is there some sort of like, you know, seriously, is there some sort of test? You just observe and you say, I think the root of the problem is this. Yeah, your dog is not being told not to do it. That's the root of the problem. They haven't been told not to do it. That is what the root of the unwanted behavior is. They've never been told how to not to do that behavior in a proper way.
Yeah.
It's not some psychobabble stuff. So I can charge you an arm and a leg just for the psychobabble and then charge you 10 times more for the fix. Mm-hmm. Or a lot of people that give you the psychobabble don't know how to do the fix. I'm so tired of it. I'm so fucking tired of it. Because owners are struggling more and more every day.
Yeah, and unfortunately, like, most of our clients find us after they've wasted a shit ton of time
finding the root of the problem
with someone else. And then by the time they finally find us, they're like, I've already dumped $5,000 into my dog, and I still have this freaking problem.
Yep.
I know. I wish you found us first. I really do.
Yeah, it's sad. And we get these calls every, this is the thing. It's like, it's funny because for 20 years, I don't want to say, you know, well, I've been training dogs, more dogs than 90% of the internet, which maybe I have. I don't know. You train dogs for 20 years, 10,000 dogs. You've been training dogs for a long time, and that's a lot of dogs. How many trainers are out there that have been doing it for that long with that many dogs? I don't know, you know, but just because you got some degree, which you bought, because most degrees are not with experience. They're done by paying for something. But you didn't learn it from experience. You don't learn it from hands-on experience. So it's like, where is this root? Again, explain it to me. Mm-hmm. Explain it to me.
And even once you figure out the why, like, that still is a
problem. So what? Then it's like, right, yeah. Now you need to know how to stop it. Now you need to know how to stop it. Anyways, let's go.
G. Marshall says, I'm going to your New Jersey seminar. Can't wait.
Awesome. Great. Awesome. Don't worry about it. You don't need to bring your fucking gardening gloves and a shovel because we ain't fucking digging for roots. I'll tell you that much. Oh,
my God. Streamline Canine says, hey from Streamline Canine.
Hey.
Y'all are doing well.
Hey. Awesome. Hope you're doing well, too.
Sam on Rumble says, hello.
Hey, Sam. How you doing? Is that Argentina?
No, it's a different Sam.
Venezuela?
This is a Sam I've never seen before.
Oh. Hey, Sam.
Hey.
Welcome.
All right. YouTube, Daniel Brown from New Zealand. Hi, how are you today, Jeff?
Our New Zealand bot.
Our New Zealand. No, look at his picture. He's a real guy. He has a new picture.
Where?
His little icon.
Holy shit. It's a real human. I know. That's AI. That's AI.
You think?
Yeah, he's too good looking.
Oh, my God. Sid says, hey, everyone. Hey, Sid.
That's AI.
Daniel says, dog's cute. Love good.
See, like I said.
Daniel is like the
it's funny because
the one troll we haven't booted from the show.
And it's like New Zealand, it's like they speak English.
I think he's trolling at this point.
Yeah, they speak English. So it's like there's not like this. Sometimes when we get foreign speakers in, they're like their English is not proper. It's like, come on, Daniel. That's not a New Zealand accent.
Snuggle Bun says, hey everyone, hope you're all doing well. Hey Snuggle Bun.
Hey Snuggle Bun.
Constance says, hey everybody. Hey Constance.
Hey Constance, how are you?
Michael, hey guys, I appreciate all that you do. My dog drinks water really fast, and then after he drinks, he vomits.
Throws it up, yeah.
Any recommendations
on how to fix it? Yeah, that's, you know, how do you, it's not like you can put water with like a slow feeder. I guess you could.
Give him a little bit at a time.
So what? Yeah, exactly. What you're going to do is this. We're training a young puppy right now, this Frenchie we're training. Cute little dog. And part of our crate training protocol is I'm limiting his water. So what I do is I only give him a little bit of water with each one of his meals and then two other times during the day. So I can actually limit the water. So there's no way he can drink it too fast. If he does, it's just a small amount of water that he's drinking too fast. And he's a tiny dog. So it's scaled. So with you, like our dogs, like Tex has a 1 gallon bucket that he drinks out of. But he doesn't gulp it down. He just like drinks from it. Wes has a bucket as well. But he's got a small bucket just because Joelle refills it every 2 hours because she's neurotic about it.
No, he's a diva. He will not drink old water. If it sits for more than like an hour, he will not drink it.
Mm-hmm. And he drinks out of Texas bowl.
Not lately.
Yes, he does.
He goes to his bowl.
You haven't seen it.
That's no, cool. I haven't because he's been going to his bowl.
I see it though because it's right there.
Kathy says, happy Friday.
So to answer your question, just it's like, okay, you only really need X, you know, so much water right now. Drink this. Oh, you can also just hold the bucket up to his snout. It's like, okay, 10 seconds later, whatever, you know, you've had enough. You've had enough. You know, he's not going to, you know, as long as you just know, it's like, how many ounces a day does he need? I don't know. But it's like, you know, most people are not going to dehydrate their dogs. So just be careful. Yeah, just be careful.
Hey, Kathy. Avi says hello. Hey, Avi.
Hey, Kathy. Hey, Avi.
Paulette says hi, everyone.
Hey, Paulette.
Diane says, I'm sick of it too. If I hadn't found you, I would still be struggling.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I go on a rant, because it's like people are like, when you start hearing clients say, because they'll follow us or they'll like ask me. It's like, well, I need to find the root. They don't say, what is the root to me? They say, I need to find the root. And I'm like, but you don't. Mm-hmm. So now owners are convinced they have to find the root too. And I'm just telling you, as somebody that actually does easy, simple dogs to the most aggressive dogs you'll ever meet. Like, you don't need to find the roots. Like a great example, Rue. Rue is just another one of the many thousands of dogs we've rehabbed. He's a Shiba Inu that's with us now. Anytime the owner tried to touch the dog, guess what the dog did? It bit her. Put a collar on, it bit her. It actually wore a harness, put a harness on, it bit her. Okay, let's say we had to find the root of the problem. First of all, you do? Really? Okay, tell me what it is. Tell me, how would you find the root of that problem? Well, we would, what? Try to put a harness on him? You're going to get bit.
The harness is what he started on.
You're going to get bit.
He was biting.
You're going to get bit. Try to put a collar on? You're going to get bit. Try to pet him? You're going to get bit.
Literally anything.
So it's like, oh.
Even getting him out of his kennel, he would bite her.
Right. So it's like, so what is the root of the problem? Tell me. Educate me. You don't know. You don't know what it is. If you told me, you'd be making up a story.
Yeah, you can't ask the dog.
Okay. You'd be making up a story. Or you can just stop it. And we stopped it. And it's not a Band-Aid. It's stopped. We changed the way he looks and feels about physical touch. And it's not a Band-Aid. And it's not temporary.
He, like, loves being...
He went from I hate touch to I love touch.
Even today, we had a client, because we were using him as, like, a demo dog. A client who's never met Rue was handling Rue.
Yeah.
A complete stranger.
Complete stranger.
We were just like, here, you handle Rue for a second so you can, like, get your leash mechanics down.
And he was biting his owner and biting his dog walker. Now Rue literally doesn't bite his owner because his owner came from the mid.
Loves meeting people.
And he loves meeting people.
Loves
being pet. So we didn't find the roots, and it's not a Band-Aid.
The root is he was just an a-hole.
Yeah. The dog was an ass.
Literally.
And he was aggressive. He was
never told not to bite.
And he was never told not to bite.
He's like, oh, all right.
And we taught him how not to bite, and now we're doing a ton. And if you watched our counter conditioning free training, you can see all the clicker work that we did. But guess what, though? He got a Punisher first. Not before that event, but like within the first 1 or 2 days he was with us. It's like, or else you can't handle him. That's not acceptable. And now we spend, you know, 5.5 more weeks teaching him what we want. It's just like, it's not as complicated as people think. You just need to know what to do, but you don't need to find the root of the problem. If anybody ever tells you, or if you read about you, you hear posts or you read posts, well, you're not finding the root of the problem. People, that's a code word for those folks don't know what they're talking about. They're trying to sound smart, but they actually don't know how to fix unwanted behaviors. They don't, because you don't need to know the root of the problem. Next.
Carrie says, hey guys, best way to get a 5-month-old pup to ignore other dogs while on a street leash walk. I don't let her meet any, and her meeting manners are not good.
Good. And you know what? And there's no, and you don't, you can go through life without your dog meeting. We recommend when you're on a walk, your dog shouldn't be meeting people or dogs. Because even if you have a friendly dog, like, people have been knocked over by their friendly dog pulling them over. Like, one of our clients got a concussion from the dog pulling them over.
That was back in the day, but yeah, Shannon.
No, it was recently.
No.
Oh, Shannon. Mm-hmm. Oh, Shannon. Yeah, one of our coaching clients. She got a concussion.
Yeah, her dog sprinted after a bunny.
Yeah, and her dog is only, what, 30 pounds, 35 pounds?
Yeah. Yeah, he's like a small
bunny. Yeah, and went after a pup. Went after a bunny. Mm-hmm. Yeah, imagine that. Well, we need to find the root of that problem. It's like, no, you don't. You teach a dog not to go after bunnies.
Yeah, it's called prey drive.
Yeah, it's no big deal. It's really no big deal. So if I go on a rant about this, it's because what's happening is owners are being swindled. This industry now is turning, like, when I first started training dogs for 20 years, people were like, oh my God, like, they were saying the same thing, but now it's out of control. It's
louder than ever.
It is out because of social media. It is out of control.
And like, interestingly enough, like, I wrote an email about this today. It hasn't gone out yet, but it's like, we don't consume a lot of social media. We're busy
creating it. Thank God.
But once in a while, you know, people will send me stuff. The first place I go is the comments section. What's it like?
Yeah, just to get the flavor of the. It's out of control.
Doesn't matter whose video. It can be the most educational, informative, wonderful video. The comments are just inundated.
Yes.
With the most terrible fucking advice I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, yeah. It's dangerous.
Shouldn't do that. Yeah. Shouldn't do this.
It's so bad.
You're all freaking abusing your dogs, right, for giving them corrections. Right. It's like, oh my God.
And that doesn't mean we know everything, but I assure you.
No, it's just because
that mindset. Like,
that's why I look at other people's pages too, because it's like, it's happening
to everybody. Everywhere.
Everybody,
even in the most basic protocols, most basic stuff, get everybody out there with an opinion, just like they have an asshole. Next.
Sam on Rumble. Hi, J Squared. Hey, Sam.
Hey, Sam. How are you? We have two Sams on Rumble. Look at that.
I know.
It's like a Sam club.
Last King says, super weird question, but is it possible to overlove a rescue? I rescued my pup and he went from totally scared to being obsessed with attention and affection. I follow and attempt to implement your methods as much as possible, but he's just turned a year and has totally digressed.
So, is it possible to overlove? So, this is the thing. We have to, let's separate this out. There's a training standpoint in a human heart standpoint, from a heart, and as a dog owner, it's not, you can't overlove your dog too much. As a dog owner in your heart, taking all training and unwanted behaviors out of the picture. No. Now, throw in training and throw in unwanted behaviors and dangerous behaviors. Absolutely. Absolutely. So if you're backsliding, you need to actually take away, that's the first thing we recommend. Take away affection and be more demanding of your dog. Be more demanding of your dog. If you've been following us for a year, we talk about this a lot. So if you have our Green to Graduate program, follow that. If you really need help, I would encourage you to either join our online community, which comes with a lot of free courses. It comes with online coaching. In fact, we have a coaching tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. that's on Zoom, so it's voice to voice, you know, face to face. We communicate in a little Zoom chat with everybody. It's fantastic. That's a year-long membership, and we can help you get through this. Also, we're the year old. It's a huge transitional age for the dog. So it's possible that all your love and affection leading up to that, unfortunately, is creating what you have now. But the great thing is, you can get a handle on it. You can get a handle on all that stuff. So you're going to have to make some changes, because what you're doing now is not working. Next.
Constance said, that's me. 4 trainers, $2,500 later. No results. Found you. Changed my life forever.
That's good. That's good that you only spent $2,500 with 4 trainers.
Yeah.
It's good. We have clients that spend $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 for one trainer, and they end up with a dog that's with zero change. Yeah.
Brittany, one of my favorite things is the logic for dogs eating poop. I've heard people say due to lack of stimulation. Right. Tell me how.
Right. Yeah. Right. Right. So lack of
somebody said that on you just put up a thing about digging.
Yeah.
And someone was like, I think I'd ban them from the page because I'm like, you're not even worth having a conversation with because you're so close-minded. They're like, if you just spent more time with the dog or did puzzles and mental stimulation, the dog wouldn't be digging holes.
I get it.
Yes, it would, because digging holes is fun for dogs.
I get it. Has anybody ever thought that a digging hole is mental stimulation and a puzzle?
Right.
That is mental stimulation.
Right.
That is literally, it's mental stimulation for a dog to dig a hole.
They just, in their mind, is like, oh yeah, the dog's just left outside all day.
That's what it is. Dig holes. That's the problem. How about this? Okay, so what do you say with somebody that spends a ton of time with their dogs, does puzzles, trick trains their dog, does agility,
right?
Does nose work, and still digs holes. Now what do you say?
Wes will do it right in front of my face for attention.
Why is it that the world champion, I don't know if they currently are, in agility, is dog aggressive? Why is that?
Must need more mental stimulation.
Or more training?
Right.
Why? Because they don't. The trainer, or the owner, doesn't know how to rehab. Right. What's the root of that problem? Mm-hmm. Next.
Let's see.
And I love the assumption, tone of that person's thing. If you like literally, you're accusing me of not spending enough time. First of all, you're not talking. First of all, your dogs. I was talking about all dogs, not just our dogs. Which
it's like
you're assuming that every one of these people don't do mental stimulation.
That's the biggest thing I see getting thrown around now is lazy.
Lazy, right?
This is lazy. That's lazy. You're lazy, lazy, lazy. It's like, meanwhile, all these people are busting their fucking asses with training that's not working.
Yeah, you're working actually way harder than you need to.
Try harder.
Yeah.
With more stuff that doesn't work.
Right.
Jesus.
Yeah. So it's terrible. It's Daniel so bad.
Daniel says, how to get the dog to eat different kinds of food. My dog exercises to eat some dog food. He's so fussy. What should I do?
Okay. Who said that? Daniel? To New Zealand? Daniel. Okay. So this is what I would say. Dogs will not starve themselves. Okay. When anybody ever says they have a picky eater, my first response is, well, number one, are you overfeeding your dog? Number two, Are you free feeding your dog? And number three, you're most likely accommodating your dog. Because I'm pretty sure you don't own Daniel's Catering. Maybe you do. I don't know. Wouldn't that be funny if you did? I'm pretty sure you don't know.
He's making some gourmet dog food.
Daniel's Catering of New Zealand. Pretty sure you're not the owner. Okay. And but your dog, though, is like, oh, this is great. Every day it's like I'm going to a restaurant. And Chef Daniel is going to prepare me my meal. So I would say this. This is what we do. Whenever we have picky eaters, selective eaters, there's your dog food. You have 15 minutes to eat. We don't tell this to the dog. Okay. 15 minutes to eat. I'm going to take it away. If they don't eat whatever's left, fine. Dinner time. There's your dog food. 15 minutes later, take it away. I assure you, all of a sudden, your dog that's picky becomes not picky. Why? Because the food is just there. Oh, I do that. I'm like, okay, how many days in a week in a row have you done that with them? Dogs aren't going to starve themselves. They just won't. They just won't. Next.
Avi says, Freya's third birthday today.
Oh, happy birthday, Freya. Happy birthday, Freya.
Haley says, my dog won't drink old water either. Water snob. See?
Okay. Guys, okay.
That is how he watches me. I will put the bucket down. Let's say it's like been sitting for a while. This is after Chuck It, where he's like, he's panting. He'll look at me, look at the bucket. I'll dump the bucket, refill it. He'll immediately drink. He doesn't like old water.
Okay. So remember when we lived in New England?
Yeah.
And your home is on 180 acres and there's a stream running through it?
Yeah.
Okay. Wes would drink out of the stream.
Yeah, that's flowing fresh water.
That's fresh water?
Yeah.
Crystal clear, filtered fresh water. No, it's not.
It's spring fed. He knows.
That's not spring fed water.
He knows.
It's been in the, it's got all kinds of, would you drink that water?
It's flowing though.
Would you drink that water?
No.
Why not? It's fresh water.
Because they have way stronger insides. Than
because
we
it's disgusting. No.
Michael says, got it. I'll apply it going forward. How can I get my female dog to stop peeing from excitement?
That's a hard one. That is an app. I can help you with biting easier, believe it or not. Excitement pee is hard. So what do you do? Number one, make sure you've got a really structured potty routine. Even though excitement pee is usually not related, but have a really structured bathroom routine. Make sure your dog fully empties its bladder. No matter how much they empty their bladder, they always got some in reserve, unfortunately. Then we've stopped excitement pee in about 2 to 3 weeks with boarding trained dogs without addressing excitement pee. And what we do is we have them a highly structured routine. We absolutely don't get really excited during the training. Everything is neutral, even our goods, good. It's neutral. You hear a lot of our videos, our goods are neutral for many different behavioral reasons why. Eventually, though, when the dog is further in their training, we get very excited. And we do that as a proofing, to proof the dog, to make sure it doesn't either pee or jump up or break command or spin in circles. Because it's like, now we use that as a distraction. So a lot of structure. Consequences for unwanted behavior, a routine for everything you do, proactive training, confidence building, not a lot of excitement, be careful about your physical touch and your verbal praise, and organically, that's how it disappears with us. So there's not one just one thing and boom, that stops it. So it's more about it's definitely more of a holistic approach. Next.
Kathy said, it really isn't difficult. It's crazy how simple it is. I think it's more people projecting what they think the dog wants and or how they feel onto everything.
Oh.
At least the experience I've had.
Oh, it's a lot of it is how they feel. You nailed it right there.
Yeah.
Like they're assuming the dog is being leash reactive because it's being leash reactive because that's what dogs do. Mm-hmm. Clearly, that's what a lot of dogs do. Until they're told not to. So why is my dog fence fight? Why is dog fence fight? Why? Because that's what dogs do. That's why you don't let dogs be dogs.
Right.
And it doesn't matter why your dog fence fight. All that matters is you stopping it. And by the way, it's a 3-second fix with an e-collar. oh, you're just band-aiding it. I'm like, So when I'm inside the house and my dog has no collar on, because it's not because of the collar, my dog's outside, it doesn't fence fight anymore? That's a band-aid? Really? So my dog used to chase livestock, but I rehabbed it. And now when it walks by livestock, I don't even say a word. And my dog looks at the livestock and just goes, it's a good looking cow, and keeps walking. That's a band-aid? Or is it possible that people that use consequences for unwanted behavior, is it possible that the dogs actually change the way they perceive and respond to things that they used to do in an unwanted way? Is it possible? Of course it is. We see it every single day with thousands and thousands and thousands of dogs. We see it with our remote clients. We see it with our coaching clients. We see it with the people that we mentor with. We see it with our colleagues. We see it across the board. Next.
Daniel says, how to get my dog to stop pulling.
Is that New Zealand, Daniel? Daniel, you've been watching this show for 10 years. So we've got a great, type in W.
He's on YouTube. It's not going to work. Oh. I'm trying to pull up the link.
Oh, if you go to Instagram or Facebook, if you type in WTW in a comment somewhere, in any pick any video and just write WTW, it's an autoresponder. You get a free course from us. WTW. Next.
Double duckling. Hey guys, what's the best way to get 5 month old pup to ignore other dogs? Oh, already read that one.
Yep.
The Zeke. Hey Jeff and Joelle, hope you're well. Wow, you haven't been on here in a while.
Who's that?
The Zeke.
Oh, wow.
We have a new Clumber lab that shadows my wife excessively.
Oh, be careful about that.
Our other dog is independent. Are there things we can do to address the anxiety and shadowing?
Yes, and I'm glad you mentioned the anxiety, because that is an anxiety behavior. At first, we like it. It's sort of cute. Oh, the dog loves me. He wants to be where I am. Until it turns into actually separation anxiety, and or your dog starts guarding your wife, where you can't even hug your wife. We see that a lot. Or, oh yeah, I try to hug my wife and my dog bites me. I'm like, I know. And I'll tell you how it started. It started with your dog following your wife. And then it started with your dog, when you guys were hugging, your dog getting in between you two. And then when you tried to hug your wife, your dog jumped on you. And everything was cute until, not with everybody, not with every dog, but until the day though, that you walked and you leaned over to kiss your wife and your dog bit you. So what you can do is this. There's a couple of commands that we have for that. The out command, which sends your dog, she says out, or you can say out, and the dog literally gets out of here, like gets out. But from a proactive level, she'd probably be reinforcing the place command. So which that's on the obedience spectrum. So your dog goes to place and your wife can walk around and the dog then has to stay in place. And tell your wife, I would say, cut down on the affection. Your dog, everybody in the house should be holding the dog more accountable for stuff. So everything we do, yes, I can.
Oh, it sounds like bad separation anxiety. He says we've not been able to leave the house together without the dog.
So oh.
Him. And it's been too long.
We
have a separation anxiety course.
We have a separation anxiety course.
Just launched.
I would highly suggest you get that course. Yeah. Also, how do people get the community link? Type in community into...
It's right if you go to Solid Canine Academy, homepage.
If you go to Solid Canine Academy, and that one I knew about. I thought there was an autoresponder on that, though. So if you go to Solid Canine Academy, click on the community link. People should think about joining the community. Number one, it comes with... It's a yearly membership, but the free courses you get are valued at more than the yearly membership. You get 26 live Zoom coaching sessions a year, 26 every week.
Tomorrow.
Okay, every week. So you can ask questions. It's all, and it's voice to voice and video to video. So we can see you and talk to you, ask you questions. You get a great community of people that are very, very helpful. You get all these courses, and it's a paid platform.
It's like your one-stop shop.
Yeah, it's a paid platform, so it's great because there's no nonsense, lies, trolls, any of that stuff. Next.
Caitlin says dog. other animal resource guarding.
Who, say that one more time?
Caitlin.
What about it?
Dogs to other animals resource guarding. Like,
so it guards away from other, it guards from things other from other dogs. Oh yeah. So we have a resource guarding course. We have a resource guarding course, and it doesn't make a difference if it's from humans or dogs. Now there are some rules. So I should be able to walk up to a dog's food bowl and take the food bowl whenever I want. Dog should back away. Bone, toy. If I reach for a dog bone, the dog should just open up its mouth and let go of it automatically. Okay. I don't mess with dog's food and mess with dog's bones, but I should be able to do it, and we train so we can. But I leave dogs alone. Like, they let them eat, let them chew a bone. A bone, if they had like a big bone, one of those bones that lasts for weeks and weeks and weeks, I mean, like, you're done with it tonight, and I'm going to put it away. I don't want some slobbery bone all over my house. But if a dog walks up to a dog chewing a bone or eating food, the dog actually can let that dog know, I would like you to get away. How does the dog do that? We do not correct for that. We don't correct for that. Now, if the dog snapped at the dog and bit the dog, we'd correct for that. If the dog doesn't move away when it's growling, we actually correct the dog that didn't move away, because it's like, whoa, which part of,
you're not picking up on something,
how many tens of thousands of years of genetic stuff are you not understanding? Don't mess with other animals' food. Next.
Let's see. Van S. Canine. Hey guys, hope all is well. Joelle is snowing north today. Yeah, it's been snowing.
Oh, yeah,
our tech guy is up in New Hampshire.
Oh, we know. Yeah.
He got like dumped on up there.
Yeah, in fact, you know,
when I heard
about the 300,000 people that lost electricity and the flooding and the snowstorms, and when I was outside in our 89 degree weather.
Sounds worse than, you know, oh, Florida gets hurricanes.
Yeah. Like,
well, you guys get terrible snowstorms.
Yeah, we live there. We know. Yeah. I've been through blizzards. I've been through nor'easters. I've been through power outages. I've been through frozen vehicles. I've been through car accidents from the ice. I've been through it all. I've been through it all. Yeah, I'm originally from Ohio. I'm 57. How old am I? 57 now or 58? I'm 58 now. I spent 56 of my years living in cold weather. I'm done. Next.
Wendy says, can I stop dirt eating with the e-collar?
Yep, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Christy says, hi. Hey, Christy.
It sounds like the dog is looking for the roots. It's eating dirt.
Maddie, do you think the term shut down is thrown around too
loosely? Oh, God, yeah. Oh, yeah. Shut. Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%. You will rarely, rarely ever see a shutdown dog. Rarely see a shutdown dog. And if you do, it's usually in a shelter environment or a hoarding environment. But at a training facility, you're not going to see it that much, if at all. Like, I'm not seeing it. I've traveled the world. I'm not seeing it. Next.
Brittany said, even in the puppy world with basic things, one of the biggest ones I see is not letting your dog meet other dogs is causing them to become reactive.
No, it's not.
So everybody assumes all puppies need to meet everybody. I can't imagine if we would have let Keens meet everybody. He's 70 pounds at 6 months, and I'm 8.5 months pregnant. If he wanted to meet every dog, wasn't handler aware, I wouldn't be able to take him anywhere.
No. That is, I can't tell you how many dogs were well socialized with both humans, cats, livestock, dogs, children, whatever, and are all of a sudden leash reactive. Bless you. They're not connected.
No.
It's not connected. Now, should you socialize your dog? Yes. Mm-hmm. But what does socialization really look like? That doesn't necessarily mean face-to-face, physical touch, interaction. It means just being around a lot of things. So a great example
is... We cover that extensively in our puppy course.
Yeah. A great example is this Frenchie. This Frenchie right here. Whenever we walk by a dog, a person, or it sees a squirrel, guess what it wants to do? Lunge at it. Okay. But guess what? If I let it, like, drag me, it can't. It's a Frenchie. But if I let it drag me towards a person, a dog, a squirrel, guess what's going to happen with this dog? What am I training? I'm training that anytime you see any of these things, it saw a bicycle, it saw a jogger the other day, it's like, it lunged. obviously it's, I corrected it, you know, but it's like, no. So we're training the dog to ignore everything. How? As soon as they show interest in it and start going towards it, boom, gets a little, gets, it's not only on slip lead, gets a little bit of a leash pop. Yeah. It's like, no, no. Train your dog to ignore things. Learn how to stop leash reactivity. That's how you stop these things. Next.
Julie, hi, Jeff and Joelle. My pup doesn't meet any dogs or people in public, nor do any of our training dogs. He now sits in restaurants and ignores others.
Yeah.
Even the servers bring him water and baby talk him. All his focus is on me.
Yep.
Not meeting people and dogs is a game changer. Thank you.
Yep.
Look at that. Yep. Literally what we were just talking about.
And guess what? It doesn't make your dog, like, worse.
Nope.
I had a breakfast meeting this morning, and I wasn't sure if this place had a outdoor cafe.
How was the food there? I swear we've been there before.
Yeah, we have.
I got us a croissant from there.
That's what I got this morning. I got a multi-grain croissant. But now that I was there, and I should have assumed because it was on Main Street in Sarasota,
yeah,
that it had an outdoor seating because I was gonna bring.
It does, right?
I know it does. Oh. I couldn't remember if it did, and I didn't want to bring Simon because I didn't want him to stay in the truck because it was hot outside. So, I have no fucking idea what we're talking about. What were we talking about? Meeting. Oh,
you had a breakfast meeting.
So the point is, I want to be able to bring the dog there, lie down, and ignore everything. Like, that's pleasurable. Could you imagine if your dog wanted to say hello to every dog that walked by and every, like, the table, like, I would have been knocked off my chair. Mm-hmm. I would have scared the hell out of people.
Yeah.
Next.
Alicia, hey, hope y'all are doing well this week. Hey, Alicia.
Hey, Alicia.
Michael, a guy passed by offering me solar panels. I ended up talking about dogs. He told me he's paying to train his dog.
Mm.
I showed how trained my dog is and rooted him to your YouTube page.
Awesome.
Got you a subscriber.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Debbie says, what about nervous pee? Would that be the same
thing? Yep, same thing. Yeah, same thing. Just to let you know, it's easier for us to rehab aggression than pee issues.
Our Green to Graduate 2 program, though, which we filmed live, that dog peed.
Oh.
And you see how we...
He peed in the video.
We organically start to eliminate it.
Yeah.
Just through the structure and the training that we do. But that dog, for the first 3 days, was pissing everywhere.
Yeah. And same with fearful.
Everywhere.
Fearful, nervous, excitement, pee. All of it gets eliminated organically through the training programs that we have. Yeah.
Yeah. And you can get Green to Graduate 1 and 2 in the community.
In the community. It's included.
Joyful Canine, why would a 3-year-old client dog that is fully off-leash trained suddenly become excessively clingy and not in a healthy way? We will board them from time to time. This is unusual behavior for him.
Who's he clingy with? You or the owners? So
it sounds like.
Are you pregnant? Are you pregnant, Jesse?
She says, my initial thoughts were that they have been lenient with training at home and also have her moved to the crate. But he also seems to be confused when receiving e-collar pressure. He knows this.
Okay. So what I say is usually sometimes when people are sick and they're pregnant, okay, when females are sick, if females are pregnant, dogs actually can be very, very clingy. But a lot of times it's because lack of direction. You didn't teach the dog not to be clingy. And what happened was, even though the dog is trained, it's just slowly, like 5% a month, 5% every 2 months, eventually until it's noticeable. So they just have to go back to basics. Next.
The Zeke said, thanks so much. We'll definitely check out the course. Our new dog began life on the streets and was living with a homeless person. Yeah, so it's probably never been alone.
Yeah. And just to let you know, too, also to let you know, that doesn't mean it had a bad life. I just want to give.
No, she's never been alone.
I just want to give everybody, like, I want everyone to realize that dogs living with homeless people, believe it or not. So, most homeless people every day are outside in public with lots of people around. So there's a huge socialization factor, and a lot of other homeless people have dogs. So there's a lot of socialization going on. Also, a lot of homeless people are always on the move. Even if they go to the same spot to sleep at night, during the day, a lot of the times, they're on the move. So they're always, like, technically hunting for their meal. They're always migrating. There's always tons of environmentals around. A lot of dogs that are with homeless people are actually really genetically sound and really like sound. It's not the worst life. If you really think about it, like most people don't spend enough time with their dogs. These dogs spend all the time with their dogs. So that's, unfortunately though, that could be the issue. That could be the issue. So next.
Jasmine says, hi, J&J. Had a great moment this week. Riley is starting to successfully walk by other dogs while walking.
Awesome.
Downside, after like the fourth or fifth dog, I can tell he gets aroused. Advice. Oh, he sees a trigger stacking.
So yeah, so chances are I would pay attention to the first dog, second dog, third dog, fourth dog. It's possible that the dog is like, you're missing some very subtle cues.
Even like air scenting.
Yeah.
It's like, you don't get a sniff when you walk by. Yeah. Not the shit.
Yeah, that's usually what it is. Yeah. Yep.
Jan says, howdy.
So what Joel said was trigger stacking, meaning like things stack, you know, bad habits stack.
With each habit one, stack. He's like, oh, there's a dog. Oh, it's just like, it's
but it's not up. It's not hugely noticeable until boom. It's like, how long does the pot have to be on the water before it starts to boil?
Yeah.
Next.
Hey, Jan. Alicia says, hey, guys, Figaro did his first trail ride with the horses today. He did amazing. Proud moment. Can't wait for him to be amazing in the kennel soon.
Yeah. Just, was that who said that, Alicia? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just, if you, by the way, Alicia, before, you know, we can talk about this tomorrow, but it's like, make, you know, if you haven't gotten the separation anxiety course, get the separation anxiety course. It's a game changer. Also, with Green to Graduate, even folks with trained dogs, and I know you're part of the community, so even we get this all the time from folks. They're like, oh, Green to Graduate, it's a, you know, it's basic. I don't need to do that. I'm telling you, everybody learns something from it.
Everyone thinks their dog's trained, but not to the level of expectation that we have.
Yeah. So, which is not like a dig at anybody at all. It's just like everybody always misses something.
Yeah.
And also on the non-crate stuff, on the non-crate, we'll go over all this tomorrow. I'm going to say the same thing, a lot of this tomorrow anyway. On the non-crate stuff, and the non, like when you are home, another thing about separation anxiety is when owners are home, the dogs are like, oh my gosh, my dog's like a different dog. I'm like, I know. That's because you're there.
It's called separation
anxiety. It's called separation anxiety for a reason. It's because when you're gone, it's like start holding your dog accountable for everything. Not casually either. Not casually. How we stop separation anxiety is it's not what we do while they're in the crate. It's actually more to do while they're out of the crate. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Next.
I think a lot of people, like we were saying, people are like, oh, Green to Graduate is so, it seems basic.
It is.
But then they get through and they're like, holy shit.
Yeah.
There were a lot of cracks that I hadn't filled in.
Yeah.
Like, I don't.
Because even in our, we have a 90-day coaching, which is great for 90 days. People are having life-changing changes in their life. And like people can submit videos to it.
Mm-hmm.
We have a great coaching program, by the way. It's a 90-day fast track. And it's twice a week. Online meetings with us, but there's also a private community just for our coaching people, and you can upload videos and we comment on them. And when we see, like, you can say one thing to us, but then when we see the video, we see something else. And there's so many little things that we can pick out. They're like, boom, right there. You know, when you did that, why'd you do that? You don't need to do that. Or you should have done this. And it's little advice like that, and they'll do it, they'll implement it, and they'll be like, holy shit, it worked. I'm like, I know. Mm-hmm. That's the power of both of our brains together and in the eyes of rehab people to look at your content. Look at your content. Next.
Joyful Canada said no pregnancy. He'll even claim to a random stranger if they give him 2 seconds of affection.
Oh, okay. So definitely
he'll go between your legs, lean up against you. It's become extremely annoying for all.
So
there's no out. Now, if you correct him for not outing around people, he screws up even closer and lies on your feet.
Okay, so it's possible. Okay, there could be something going on with the dog medically. There could be. There is a minimal chance, but I'll throw that out there. But I don't want to just be like, oh, it's medical. But it could be. What is wrong? I don't know. I'm not a vet. But it's most likely there's been a breakdown in communication with the owner. What I mean by that is, it's possible the dog was doing so well. How many of you out there have lost weight, worked out, love the new look, and then go, oh, now I can eat desserts again. Now I can not go to the gym again.
Mm.
Everybody does it. The discipline issue, all right? But guess what? Did you ever think the reason why you look good, feel good,
have more energy
is because you cut out all of that stuff and because of all the proactive stuff you did? That doesn't mean you can't have a cheat meal. And I hate to even call them cheat meal. I call it just being human. But be careful about getting going back to some old habits. Okay, remember, there's no such thing as a casual heroin user. Next.
Joyful said, we're going back to board and train structure for the next few days, but I was curious if you've heard of this before.
Oh, yeah.
If it's a simple answer or if it's abnormal.
Well, it's not a simple. Yeah, the simple answer is this. Go back to basics, not for just a couple of days. I'd go a good 30-60 days. 30-60 days of boom.
At least for the entirety that he's with you.
Yeah, you know, with you, yeah, but with the owners. I would tell the owners, it's like, it's board and train time for you guys. Mm-hmm. Next.
The Zeke said, totally agree. We think it's likely because the dog has never been alone. Yeah. The man who had him took great care of him, but worried about being able to continue doing so.
Yeah, it's sad. Because you know what? I see people with homeless dogs. I've heard people like, because I'll be next to someone, and they feel bad for the dog. I'm like, really? Like, you're gone from the house 8 to 10 hours a day. And you go out. You go out on dates. And then you do, like, you guys go on a boat. Or you take a trip and you board your dog. Like, these dogs, they're with their owners 24-7. They're freaking loving life. Like, I'm an RVer, and I see semi-truck. I love semi-truck dogs. What a great life, a semi-truck dog. People actually have felt bad for them. Oh, poor dog. Like, poor dog.
Go everywhere.
It fucking hangs out with its owner. It rides shotgun with its owner across the country every night. They've got a great life. They've got a great life. I see a lot of min pins.
Yeah.
Just truck dogs. Yeah.
Jay Drink Walter said, thanks for another great Friday. Happy hour, J&J. Have an awesome weekend, everyone.
Yeah, you too as well.
Good weekend. Jasmine said, thanks. I'll try to pay attention to the first few dogs he walks by. I probably need to correct him for smaller things to prevent the stacking.
Yes.
But one night I walked him with just a flat collar because I was tired, and he surprised me by not pulling and being calm at the elevator. Another small dog came out, but he stayed in a sit. I was nervous. Before I started working him, this was a nightmare situation.
So this is why tools are great. We're a huge advocate of tools. Huge advocate of tools.
That's
but awesome. The training is more important. The tools communicate the training. Without the training, the tools don't matter. It sounds to me like the training is working.
Yup.
Next.
Joyful Canine, do you have any courses containing training a deaf dog? 18-month-old rescue with no foundation whatsoever. Terrier, naughty behaviors. I don't have much experience with deaf dogs. Client is aware.
So, green to graduate.
It's all the same.
It's all the same.
Doing hand signals.
Except for you're going to be doing hand signals. And you need a way to get in. You need to get a way for the dog to look at you when it's not looking at you.
Normally we do like two taps.
Right.
Like a stim pattern.
If the dog looks, thumbs up, food reward. It's like, great.
Once you have that, it's training as usual.
Yeah, it's training as usual. And you're going to be doing hand signals. That's all.
Ninja hounds and truck dogs are living the dream.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, so many of them, and they really are. I mean, it's just like, it's such a great life. It's such a great life. It really is.
How is there a punishment marker for a deaf dog?
You can do whatever you want to, because it's just, remember, the word no is just a word. You got to put meaning to the word, but we're like, this is our no, and it's followed up with a consequence. So,
you usually just need really good timing. You got to correct the dog in the moment.
Yep, so it's this and then stim. E-collars are great for deaf dogs. They're fantastic. In fact, most deaf dog training websites actually talk about e-collars. Yeah, it's really great to see. Looks.
That's it. That's 8 o'clock anyway.
No. Oh, awesome.
Got through all the questions.
Awesome. It's great.
All right, all our community members, we'll see you on tomorrow's coaching call, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard.
I thought it was 9.
No,
10. Oh, cool. 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time tomorrow. We'll see everybody. It's going to be a lot of fun. A lot of fun helping a lot of people.
Yeah.
So excited about that.
And don't forget the touch reactivity and counter conditioning course just launched on pre-sale. So if you're following Rue's journey, that Shiba who is biting everybody, we're showing his entire rehab. And then you also get, when you join the nail trimming course, as a free bonus. So if you have a dog who sucks at getting their nails done, fights you, rumbles, rolls, tries to bite, like we're covering it all. And you get the nail cutting course, which showed a ridiculously difficult dog and how we got him to just calmly accept the Dremel.
Jasmine just had a win. You want to read that?
Yeah. Jasmine said, I also put him in place and left out to get mail. I came back after a few moments, wondered where he was. He was still in place.
Jasmine, isn't that the weirdest feeling?
I'm trusting the training.
That's awesome. So I'll tell you what, I had that experience today. So the Frenchie, he's a puppy. He's a true puppy. He's a true puppy. And he's going home Sunday. Sunday will be 2 weeks. He's just a short 2-weeker. And we're just doing leash basics, basic leash skills. And I put him in a downstay, but he was over by Ange behind the couch. He has the habit of following me. He's getting really much better at that, but he has the habit of following me, or he loves to eat shit off the floor and just wander around the house, not the whole house, but like the living room. So I had to go into the kitchen, and we have an open floor plan. So our living room is connected to our kitchen. So it's open, there's no walls, And so I just went over to the kitchen to do something, and I was coming back, and I'm like, shit, because we have all the other dogs out, and I don't want him like going to the other dogs and playing with the other dogs or anything. And I'm like, damn it, where's Guido? And then I look around the couch, and he's in the exact same spot.
And he blends in with a rug too.
Yeah, he was in a downstay. Yeah, still. So it's like, I know exactly how you feel, because I'm like, holy shit, I guess the training's working. Yeah.
That's awesome.
All right, everybody, take care. Mail me in love with all of you. Bye-bye.